Hello, world, and welcome to another episode of At the Movies with Colin Mill. Technically, At the Movies at Home edition. Theaters at home, as some of these digital retailers would say. Because, you know, Corona done ruined all our chances of going to see any movie this year. You know, and it's funny when I think about it, because last year I thought of all the movies I was going to see in 2020. And you know, the ones I couldn't wait to see, you know, Tenet, you know, which some people are seeing right now, and I'm extremely jealous of. You know, people are actually in theaters right now seeing The New Mutants and stuff, and I can't, because New York has not left the restriction of seeing movies in theaters right now, you know, unless it's like a drive-in or something. And I'm looking at AMC.com every day, AMC theaters, and trying to find out if they're going to open the New York theaters anytime soon, and there's nothing saying anything. And, you know, there's the question of, even if they do open the theaters, am I going to go see the movies or not? Because it's like, you know, closed spaces is not really ideal right now. Not until, you know, they got this whole pandemic under wraps, you know. But just thinking of all the movies I didn't get to see this year, you know, Tenet, Mulan, which is, I think, is on Disney Plus now, but I don't have $30 right now to go ahead and pay for that. I got to get my car out from the mechanic right now. That's $2,000. But I'll get to Mulan when I can, you know. But still, thinking of all the other movies I didn't get to see this year, Jungle Cruise, Godzilla versus King, you know. Godzilla versus Kong. I'm over here thinking of The Kingsman, but that's another movie I didn't get to see this year. You know, Bond 25, No Time to Die. You know, Black Widow, Top Gun Maverick, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Charm City Kings, Promising Young Woman, Antebellum, Legally Blonde 3, Run, Spiral, Halloween Kills, Fast 9, SpongeBob 3, Candyman Reboot, Irresistible, Soul, In the Heights, Free Guy, Morbius, Hitman's Wife Bodyguard, Monster Hunters, Without Remorse, Snake Eyes, Eternals, Cutthroat City. You know, I could literally just go on and on and on of all the movies that I was planning to see in 2020. You know, but the matter at hand is, I would never believe you if you would have told me I would not have been able to see one of those movies, or that the fact that I would never return to the movies after seeing Bloodshot and The Hunt, that would have been the last movie I saw in theaters this year. I would never believe that the only brand new movies, theatrical films that I would have saw for 2020 would be Trolls World Tour and Scoob and The Tax Collector. I would never believe you. There was no way. No way whatsoever I would have believed that would be the only movies I see in 2020. But here we are with almost only 4 months left, and I'm literally up to my fourth newly released film of the year, which is Bill and Ted Face the Music. Now, I have been anticipating Bill and Ted Face the Music ever since I heard they were in development of this film. I love these movies as a kid. I watched these teens get, you know, back then, you know, in the 80s movies, you know, teens get to become teen wolves. You know, they get licensed to drive. They get to go back to the future. They get to own some gremlins. They get to visit Hogwarts and have excellent adventures. While me and my boys, all we got to do was be boys in the hood, become men in society, and search for our roots. You know, I was highly jealous of the media these kids was getting, because I'm just like, you know, how come they get to, you know, have these coming-of-age drama where all it is just asking the hottest girl out to the dance, or, you know, getting a new car, you know, where our coming-of-age film was, you know, trying not to get shot and shit. Either or, I realize this stuff made a huge impact on me when I look at the scripts that I write now. You know, because most of these scripts that I write now are basically black genre pictures. You know, just wait till you see my brand of urban sci-fi comedy, action adventures, or my horror fantasies. You guys will be like, wow, this stuff really did take an effect on you. But, like I said, I would never expect that the only film of summer 2020 I would get to see, but I am very grateful that I got to see that it exists, is Bill and Ted Face the Music. You know, I've been going to drive-in films lately to see films I've already owned on DVD, and, you know, it's not doing enough for me. I'm not getting my fix of brand new movies. And I would love to see Bill and Ted 3 in theaters. Would have been my first Bill and Ted movie in theaters. But you know what? I'm just happy that I get to see something new that's not a Netflix original, you know? And I love sequels to movies that's just as old as me. You know, I love The Force Awakens. I love Jay and Silent Bob reboot. You know, I'm still waiting on a Coming to America sequel that's supposed to be coming this holiday if Corona don't push it back. So to say that I was excited to see Bill and Ted 3 is an understatement. You know, now I'm a big fan of the original Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure, not so much of Bogus Journey, but I still own the VHS of that. You know, I just feel like that film was a little too dark, you know, with the whole killer robots from the future and you know, them being sent to hell compared to the light time travel film the first movie was. But, you know, the franchise in general, it plays a huge, you know, it has a place in my heart, you know. the film isn't a cinematic masterpiece, and it's not a great of a comedy, you know, compared to other comedies of this world, but I still enjoy Bill and Ted. Now, Bill and Ted was actually a big franchise at one point. You know, they had the comic books, they had video games, they had a cartoon. I think they even had a live-action series, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't see any of these. I didn't play the game. I didn't read the comics. I didn't watch the show. You know, but the nostalgia factor is still heavy for me. You know, I couldn't wait to see what happened to Bill and Ted 25 years after we last seen him in Bogus Journey. You know, especially now that we're all adults, even though I'm still like 20 years younger than the actual characters. But, you know, I was a kid when I saw the movie. I'm an adult now when I see this movie. So, you know, I feel like it's still there, you know. Now, you know, the film starts, you know, as soon as the film starts, we get an update on what's happened since the last film. And immediately, we get to see Bill and Ted haven't changed at all since the last film. I couldn't stop myself from smiling and laughing, seeing Keanu Reeves and Bill want to resume these roles like they never stop portraying these characters. They continue exactly where they left off, and it feels like seeing old friends again. It was also great to see a few of the returning cast from the previous films. It sucks that not everyone got to return, and I get it, because, you know, you gotta cast popular faces for marketing reasons. But, you know, the nostalgia factor plays a huge part in these sequels for me. But it was great to see the return of Missy, Ted's daddy, even the Grim Reaper. And it was also even great to see a George Carlin cameo, because I just felt like that the movie would have sucked if I didn't get to see, you know, George at least once somewhere, at least in a few frames of this movie. So I'm glad I got to see him, you know. And as for the new cast, I love the fact that Bill and Ted are girl dads now, but I thought it was kind of weird that the girls act exactly the same way as their fathers. You know, well, you know, it was exactly to the T of how their fathers are portrayed, you know, in the first two films. But it didn't push me away. I didn't hate it at all. Because sometimes you'll see movies where, you know, they have a character that's supposed to be just like their parents. But if you really think about it, in life, not most, but there's a lot of times children would take off after their parents. So it didn't take me away from the film too much, you know. I love that the issue Bill and Ted have in this film is the fact that they still haven't reached their destiny yet. You know, a lot of us, after we leave high school, don't achieve what we plan as soon as we join the workforce or graduate from college or return from the military. So I feel like that's a problem everyone can relate to, you know. Being the exact person you were years ago and not reaching your full potential, to me, is a great way to start the hero's journey myth. But, you know, using the logic of the last two films, I'm like, why not just go back in time in the future and drop off the music that will unite the world? And when they get to the present, when they originally write the song, they just bring it back to the past instead of trying to steal it from the future self. You know, the future Bill and Ted would just have to give it to themselves in the past. But then again, that will only make the movie 20 minutes long. Now, this film doesn't touch new ground like they did with the first two films, with Excellent Adventure being a time travel film and Bogus Journey being about the afterlife. This film does rehash pretty much the plot from the first two films. You know, they definitely rehash the time travel. They definitely rehash the killer robots from the future plot. But they take a page from the Force Awakens book by having their children try and rescue our heroes by time traveling and eventually, of course, ending up in the afterlife in the process of trying to save their dad. Basically passing the torch. Now, I haven't seen much of director Dean Parsons' work other than Home Fries and Galaxy Quest, two films from my childhood that I'm still very fond of, and Galaxy Quest is to blame for my love for Star Trek. So I'm not surprised Dean could direct a great modern science fiction comedy adventure film like this. In my opinion, this is the best directed Bill and Ted film. Definitely the funniest out of the three. Now, the ending was definitely on the worst end of what was the conclusion of Terminator Dark Fate, but unlike the Terminator movie, this film didn't kill Bill and Ted, but allowed them to play a crucial part of what ended up being their children's destiny. And I love that. I love that to a T. You know, that's one of the things I hated the most about Terminator Dark Fate. It was just like John Connor's whole... There was no point of John Connor. There was no point of him, basically, by the end of Dark... Shit, by the beginning of Dark Fate. So I love that Bill and Ted, it didn't become irrelevant to their own story. You know, they still play a crucial part, and I love that, you know. The film, to me, when I think at all three, this is the best one. I honestly believe this is the best Bill and Ted movie. You know, I'm kind of jealous Because I remember they were, you know, saying out to the world, like, hey, guys, send your video clips of you guys dancing so we can add it to the credits of the movie. And I'm jealous of everybody who did it because I didn't do it and I saw it and I had the opportunity and I wasted my time and I didn't do it and I missed the deadline. So, you know, I was kind of jealous watching that end sequence. But, you know, to me, it's a great movie. 10 out of 10. Definitely stick around for after the credits, though. But this film is, to me, is the best film of the Bill and Ted franchise. The only thing that was lacking for me was there just wasn't enough Kid Cudi for me. It should be more Kid Cudi, but I'm biased because there's never enough Cudi.